This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
And welcome to ENN. On a Tuesday evening, we'll start off by saying good evening to Don.
I like when his hair is like thick and lush.
We'll also say good evening to Don yet again.
He's my friend.
And good evening, Don.
Budweiser nips over at Gypsy Pond behind Clixie's.
And what if Michael was here? What would he say? Good evening to Michael.
ESPN.
What else, Michael?
Zonker.
Okay. And any final thoughts?
I hate Don.
Oh, it's a shame. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's not what you want.
Though. I'd like to have him back.
I'm seeing a mix, Don. There's some people saying the greatest tale from the crib ever told, and there are others saying longest tale from the crib ever told.
Well, but both can be true.
So, you know what? They're not mutually exclusive, what you just said. It's a great point. So, we'll start out in Denver. The Nuggets closed their practice facility following multiple positive tests. This is, of course, according to Woj. You know, all things are according to Woj.
Sure.
But they closed the practice facility starting on Saturday after a round of positive tests. Two members of the team's 35-person traveling party initially tested positive before the weekend shutdown. But there were also Nets positive tests as well. Let's hear from Woj with SVP on the Nets.
The expectation is you were going to have positive tests for players who are just living, you know, for example, these two players, DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie, who are in New York, who can go into the facility, play socially distanced, kind of do a workout. They're not having contact with each other on the court. So if someone's testing positive, it's coming from outside the facility, presumably, and that's the belief here. But both players would potentially have time to get past the symptoms, get to Orlando. They don't have to play a game till July 30th. But DeAndre Jordan has already ruled himself out. And there's concern on the Nets that as they lose more players, they're going to be, as they become less competitive, that it's causing other players to wonder, is it worth me going to play? And that puts the Nets in a difficult position where they might have to suffer more attrition here before they even get to Florida.
And Woj went on to talk about how the NBA is going to handle the idea of more positive tests throughout the season.
It's the one question the NBA has not answered that they haven't, it seems, wanted to box themselves in, is how many players on one team would it take for them to either end a series, to say to a team is essentially done. There are mechanisms for them to continue to bring in substitution players, but those players coming in would have to quarantine. But that's the fear. That's the ultimate fear in this great experiment, that if there was an outbreak on a team in the middle of the playoffs, how would you be able to continue?
What I don't like about what's happening with the Nets is, listen, I can't get on a player, especially if they got it, to not want to move forward. But if it's just because we don't really stand a chance anyway, if Durant said, I'm playing, if Kyrie said, I'm playing, and they were healthy, would they be going through this mass exodus? Or is it just, hey, listen, I'm going to play 8 games, we're going to get crushed in the first round, why bother? I don't think that's a good enough reason. Do you?
No. And it's going to be hard to know what people's real rationales
are. And you can't question them. I mean, you just have to take it. All right, listen, I understand. All you have to do is just say, hey, I got some fears. I got some trepidation. I don't want to go. But that's the problem with the NBA as opposed to the NHL. In the NHL, a lot of those borderline teams feel like they got a chance at a run. Because that's the way the NHL is structured. Underdogs do win. But in the NBA, underdogs don't win. And especially with the Nets not having two of their best players, Peter, they're going to play. What's their record even going to be in those 8 games? Are they in jeopardy of losing out for the playoffs altogether?
That's a good question.
I don't know because I'd have to look and see where they are in the standings.
I think they'd have to bomb You know, they've been pretty safely in the playoffs for a little
while.
They
might now. I mean, they could lose all the games they play if nobody's going to go. If they're going to have to use basically, you know, G League players to get through, then yeah, they're going to play. They're going to lose all eight of their games and be done.
I mean, it is losing Dinwiddie hurts. You know, obviously they're used to playing without Kyrie and KD. But Dinwiddie's been a bright spot. How many more players can they possibly lose and stay competitive?
They're six games up on the nine spot. So I guess if they lose all of their games, Peter.
Still unlikely. They're likely. Now, they may get absolutely just demolished in the playoffs. But, Don, even if they were to lose all eight, they'd likely still make the playoffs.
All right, so you make the playoffs. And, again, this is not the way you want to win a championship by any stretch. This isn't even the way you want to win a round. But let's say whoever they match up with in the first round has a couple of key players that either don't want to play or contract the virus or just get injured. And now you find yourself in the second round. I just feel bad for Net fans that they probably were a little excited to see a team and they're not going to know any of the players on the team. Nobody wants to play. And you can't really kill the players because they're going for a righteous reason. If indeed it is a fear of the virus and not just this isn't worth it.
Any chance you think Jackie Moon plays for this team?
I tell you what, Jackie Moon would want to play.
Oh, yeah, he's not missing. There's no way he's skipping.
In fourth place. Fourth place.
We'll go back to Colorado. Thank you, Doug. We'll go back to Colorado. Ian Desmond said on Instagram, quote, "The pandemic has made this baseball season one that is a risk I am not comfortable taking." Ryan Zimmerman, Joe Ross in Washington said the same thing. Diamondbacks pitcher Mike Leake has also opted out. So we're starting to see the names in baseball of people who are just uncomfortable joining the restart.
But unlike the NBA, I don't think there is one player that can bring it all down. You can get it, like a lot of the stars don't want to go, but the biggest names. If you told me Bryce Harper's not playing, and it's only Bryce Harper, as big a name as he is, I don't think that affects anybody outside of Philadelphia. Same for Manny Machado in San Diego. Same for Mike Trout in Anaheim. Now, all those guys decide not to go, that could be a problem, but it's a regional sport, right? You don't have to worry about anything other than the team you root for. So if you're a Yankee fan and the Yankees are intact and they're a go, would you necessarily care as a Yankee fan if Mike Trout doesn't play? No, you probably wouldn't bat an eye about it.
Now, Ryan Braun of the Brewers was talking about the season and said, "There's still part of me that isn't quite sure we will actually play games. I'm optimistic we will play games. But obviously, if we look at what's happening in the country, the COVID numbers are not good. There are a significant number of athletes who have tested positive, which is indicative of the overall numbers in our country right now." Now, one of the he also wanted to say, "We're all hopeful we'll be able to complete a season. Ultimately, the most important factor in all of this is the safety and health of everyone involved, because we're going to be traveling, staying in hotels, riding on buses and airplanes, doing all these things where we will be around and interacting with people and communities all over the country. If our health and safety become compromised, we would all be understanding, but at the same time disappointed of having to cancel the season." Now, you know, Braun's 36, right? Right, Don? Every moment at that stage in your career is important. And I think guys like that are really going to say, "I got an opportunity to maybe somehow stumble into a more successful season than I even anticipated." But one thing that was scary, our conversation with Buster Olney, who has not been very hopeful about this season, told us that a major stumbling block now is the fact that there are young players who do not care to socially distance. And, you know, I saw Kevin Owens of the WWE put up a really good statement on his social media yesterday. He lost his wife's grandfather, I believe,
okay,
to COVID. And he basically said, "To those of you who are chastising people who believe in wearing masks, who believe in social distancing, let's say you believe, based on the information you've seen, that it's a racket and you don't need to wear a mask and you don't need to social distance." He said, "At the worst case scenario is you're doing something that's unnecessary. But on the flip side, if those of us who believe in science believe in socially distancing and we believe in wearing masks, and you're on the other side of that, the worst case scenario is you're wrong and you're spreading the illness and killing people. Wouldn't you rather err with the worst case scenario is you're just wearing a mask for no reason?
Because
it's pretty simple. I thought it was such a simple way to put it. What's the worst case thing from wearing a mask? What is it? And why would these players fight it? They're going to show up there. And I mean, I would just, that's good. How interesting is that going to be if you have some players in a locker room saying, nah, man, chill out. We don't need to stay apart from each other. Well, why are you wearing your mask when we go out? Calm down. It's bizarre.
But part of being a team is to conform. And it shouldn't be about political leanings. It should be, hey, guys, this is what we need to do. All right. You don't think it's necessary, but the majority of people do. And the sport does. So we need to be able to march forward here, because you don't want to be the guy that if you just happen to be wrong, even if it's a one percentile chance you could be wrong, look at the damage you can do. I don't think you're asking for that much. Again, I feel bad for the construction worker that might have to be in 100-degree heat with 100% humidity and having to wear the mask. That's awful. And if there are people that have, you know, compromised, that have trouble breathing, have to wear the mask, it's a pain in the neck. I get it. But we're not asking you to do anything that crazy for the average person. Are we that free as a country that the slightest inconvenience, we go nuts? It infuriates me. You think I enjoy wearing a mask, or Peter enjoys wearing it, or my mom, or anybody else? No, of course, it's a pain in the neck for everybody.
Right.
But you got to do it, and it seems like the least we can do to try to stop this thing from happening. And the numbers have proven out that social distancing and masks work. If you're somebody that's just convinced otherwise, all right, you know what? Wear the masks and then laugh like a hyena after us after you're proven right. I'll give you that permission.
Oh, hey, do you remember, Don, though? Do you remember when we go back like a month or 5 weeks when we all sat here when all the states were starting to reopen 4 weeks ago, whatever it was? And me, you, and Michael all said, we all hope that we're proven wrong. Yeah. And those states that reopen can laugh in our face and be like, look, we got it right. You were wrong. Well, I have bad news. We were right. It's an unmitigated, it's a problem now. Not seeing a lot of people admitting they were completely wrong. Not seeing a lot of people coming out and going, whoops, my bad. Interesting how that works.
And here's the thing for all those people that we talked about that were on those beaches in Florida. They went and did that because they thought, hey, I'm young, I'm healthy, it's not going to hurt me. And you were proven right, because a lot of you are out there that probably went to the beach and now you're perfectly fine. But look what's happened in your state. Look what happened by you doing that. You spread it. You may have been asymptomatic. You may not have had any symptoms that really bothered you. But by doing that, there's somebody in a hospital on a respirator in Florida, in Arizona, someplace else, because you were irresponsible. Not them. You were irresponsible.
It's just so annoying, too, that I have to even think about this being processed as a political conversation. It just has nothing to do with that. Believe me, guys, you'll know when I'm having a political conversation. That's not what this is. This is just a straight-up health situation.
It's not a political conversation for us, because it's just about right and wrong and the numbers. But for a lot of people, they're not wearing masks because they believe, from a political standpoint, that there's some ulterior motive, that the governors of these states are trying to force something on. Like, that's what I'd like to know. What do you think the end game is? Like, if you're – there's a person – I'm not going to give you where I live, but it's not that far from
Tell
my
us
house.
Them. Show right? us them.
I drive whenever I have to go shopping, or like today I had to drop the computer off at Best Buy. I have to pass this person's house, and he's got a big, big wooden sign in the front of his house, blank Governor Murphy, and I'm gonna stop in front of his house to read the whole message, but I think the first sentence kind of gives it away.
Yeah,
he feels. Okay,
right. Yeah, sure.
That he is trying to, you know, ruin this state. Like, so what you're saying, what do you think Governor Murphy's ulterior motive is here?
Well,
he wants the
state to fail. He wants to have no money. He wants to be
the governor of the state that runs it into the ground. Like, he wants to put everybody out of business.
Like you and Sports Phone.
Right. He wants to drive it all into the ground. So I understand you disagreeing with somebody's politics because usually you don't buy into what they're trying to accomplish. But in this case, you really think that his end game is to just ruin everything? For what? You know, because it'll be his name on it. Like, if you think, oh, he's just trying to bring down the president. He's trying to bring down the Republican Party because he's a Democrat. At what end? Because at the end of the day, him ruining the state of New Jersey is on his resume. Cuomo ruining New York is on his resume. You may not agree with all the things that are going on, but what do you think the end game for him is? Taking away your freedoms. Why does he want to do that? He wants to do that because he's hoping that our state and New York and Governor Cuomo or Connecticut do not end up having what happened in March again. And you can't see the difference between going through in March and what's happening now?
Well, let's just all get prepared, too, because if it does get bad and people continue to ignore it and go out and party and just, like, go to bars, and they are going to go backwards. We are going to be back fully inside again. So I hope people are prepared for it. Because if we don't figure it out, that's where we're going to be. In a letter, the NFLPA directed agents to educate their clients on coronavirus risk factors. ESPN obtained the letter, and it suggested that by mid-July, agents should engage each of their clients in a conversation about the vital importance of carefully reviewing the information with their personal physician. They should ask their personal doctors any and all questions they have regarding risk factors in light of their personal medical history and their job as an NFL player. July 28th is the likely reporting day for several teams.
That's less than a month.
Let's keep it with the NFL. Ron Rivera, the head coach in Washington, I'm still getting used to that, for some reason did an interview on 670 AM The Score in Chicago, and he was asked if he'd spoken to Cam Newton.
I hadn't talked to him in recently, but just based on the stuff that I've seen and some of the people that I've talked with, he's headed in the right direction. I mean, he's probably about as healthy as it gets from what I've seen on video. So I think he's ready to bust out. I really do. I mean, I would never bet against the young man. That's for sure.
Ron Rivera was also asked about the name and mascot of the team that he currently coaches.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing. But, you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era, that when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene, you know, that's one of the tough things for me, too, is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. You know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics, you know, while I was coaching, and I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
Here's the thing, Ron. A lot of people would say that this is the time. This is the time to talk about changing the name.
Yeah, because I think that's an old, tired kind of excuse. Well, I'm not a political person. You know, or I don't think there's room in politics in what's going on here. I'm sorry, they've kind of meshed together, haven't they? And now you have to have an opinion. Now, I think he's in a tough spot because he can't change it.
And he's brand new.
And he's just got there, and I think the last thing he wants to do is the feud with his owner. So I give him credit for trying to answer the question, but I don't think you can no longer say, I'm not a political beast, that this is not my thing.
But what do you think? What's Snyder's move? If Ron Rivera gets interviewed and goes, can I be honest, guys? I don't really get the whole big deal. If people are offended, I just think they should change the name. Don't think it would be a big deal. You still get to have the history of the team's play and all that. Keep the colors. Get a new name. Call them the Washington Warriors. I don't think it's a big deal. That's my opinion. What if he did that? What would Dan Snyder's options be? And this is
know your
why.
Role. Nobody cares about what you think. I don't know how far would he go.
He can't fire him. He can't.
No, he can't fire him. But
so what are you willing to do? This is the reason I'm saying it, Don, is because you're right. It's not an ideal situation for Ron Rivera. But Ron Rivera, as an NFL head coach, is in a great position. Plenty of money. He's had a great career. These are the people in positions of power who can take a risk. And to me, how high is the risk for him to step up and say something right now?
It's not a risk at all. for him because he's established. He just got there. As you said, he's not going to get fired for that. But what he does is maybe get the relationship off on the wrong foot. He now maybe loses the support of his owner, his boss. And the next fireable offense, like a losing season, you know, now maybe he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt and ends up losing his job, where maybe if he didn't bring that up, he might have gotten a second chance. I mean, that's probably what is going on in his head. Because with all the money you have, he doesn't want to lose this job. He wasn't...
But this that's the point. That's the point of this whole thing. People who have an opportunity, when it's not even that big a risk, to say the right thing.
And no, we don't know what Ron Rivera feels. Ron Rivera doesn't care.
And he may sincerely not find it offensive and just miss... He may just be completely wrong.
Right, but that's what's so strange about it, because what Daniel Snyder can throw back out at you is that there are Native Americans who do not have a problem with it.
And he has his stats that, you know, his surveys that he's paid to get done
that
support that.
And listen, I remember when my brother produced the opening drive on Sirius XM, and they had someone on who says, I look at it as our culture being honored. Now, listen, they're entitled to their opinion, too. But I bet you if you were to poll every Native American, I think the majority would be offended by it.
Agreed.
So, you know, I'm sure if you really looked long and hard enough, Peter, you might be able to find an African American that might not have a problem with the N-word.
Does that mean that the feelings of the 99.9% of the population should be thrown out the window?
Right. But so do you want to be that guy? I'm gonna hunt down the one person who has no problem with it. As if just because that person happens to be in that category.
Well, if you're asking the question,
sway everything.
Yes, Dan Snyder's totally happy being that guy. Marv Albert is going to sit out the restart. So no Marv on TNT when the NBA is back.
Now, what is the reason for this? Because they're not going to the hub, right? I mean, he wouldn't be in Orlando.
Well, I'll tell you what he said.
Okay.
Verbatim. Of course, he's been the longtime lead voice for TNT coverage. You know that. But we also know that COVID's been worse for people 65 and older. By the way, Hubie Brown is also 86. But Marv told the Post that he was growing more excited about participating on site, but that was dampened with the recent surge of cases in Florida. He said, I had second thoughts. He got a call from Jeff Zucker, who oversees Turner Sports. He said to me, maybe this is something you should skip. I'd like to point out to you that Marv said, I'd like to point out to you that 79 is the new 78. So apparently, it sounds like they are going to be on site there in the bubble.
Maybe that's because from what I understand, regionally they're not, but maybe the nationally televised stuff, they're going to want it. And maybe that's just because TNT does have a conference final. Right, so maybe it's for the conference final or just the nationally televised games. But I know that regionally they're not going to go because they want to cut down the number of people.
So you'll have Kevin Harlan, Ian Eagle, Brian Anderson also available for TNT.
There may not be anybody that I can think of at the top of my head that I want to interview more, and I'm not allowed to, than Ian Eagle. First of all, he'd be a tremendous guest, funny. A lot of information.
Why would we not be allowed?
Because of his connection with the fan. And I admire him for his loyalty.
Oh, because he doesn't want to be seen as like a bad guy,
right?
Like a bad teammate.
Right. But it stinks because I think he'd be a terrific guest.
Well, especially because he's our teammate on Yes. So
he knows football and he knows basketball and he's funny and he's got a history with myself and Michael.
He has a son who's 7 years old and does play-by-play for the Clippers.
And he'd be an outrageously good guest.
And last bit of news, Adam Silver appeared on Time 100's talks and said that he remains pretty confident about the NBA's plan to safely resume, but admits that a spread of COVID in the NBA community could bring the league to a halt again. Quote, we haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and see spread in our community, that would, of course, because to stop as well. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
What a great hour for you. A tremendous story, a tremendous ENN.
Oh, thank you.
Really. So
happy birthday, Mike Tyson. It's a special day. It's a holiday for me.
If you wanted to lay out the rest of the hour, then I would think that you've done more than enough.
Thank you. I'll consider it. I'll take that under advisement.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.